Good morning, everybody. First, I want to thank Stephanie for putting this all together. It's a great topic. It's something that I learned about. I have to say that as a faculty member, I was not the best at doing these. Now that I'm a department head, I am a lot better, and I had to be. So I really can understand from both sides. You know, when I was a faculty member, I thought, what are they used for? Is this another thing to turn in? Now I know. So, and the other thing I want to mention is my apologies to the subsequent speakers. I hopefully won't steal too much of anybody else's thunder as we go along. But anyway, all right. So, why do them? It really falls into two categories. They're required. They're required at NC State, and so they are due in January when the faculty turn in their faculty activity reports. The impact statements are due then as well. So they're required. Having said that, we don't enforce it as much as we probably should. The second one, I can talk a little bit more about that later, but it's really one of the best ways to publicize your program. It can be used and it should be used in a lot of ways, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So talking about the requirement, the college and the department require them for various reports. We're going to hear from NEFA here in a bit. Every year the college has to turn in reports to various agencies, and they go through the impact statements and they pull out impact statements to use for those reports. And you just never know. We hear back sometimes when these reports go in, they want more information on such and such and such and such. And it might as well be your program that they want to hear back on. Okay. College Magazine, we have a college magazine called Perspectives. And they're just starting it, but finally we've put all the pieces together where the impact statements are going to come into the college, and then they're going to send them, all of them, to the communications staff. The communication staff will then be looking through the impact statements to pull out the ones they want to write articles on. And the impact statements, if you write a page, page and a half, the article's mostly done. So the college is, I think, it's a really great idea. Now, having said that, as I was putting this together, I realized we're not doing that for our departmental newsletter. So we're going to start doing that for our departmental newsletter, going through the impact statements, pulling those out, and then using them for a departmental newsletter. We're going to hear in a bit from NEFA and other federal agencies. National database is being, with extension, has been put together to hold impact statements. And from what I understand, NC State has not loaded very many up, so apparently we're not doing well there. And then last one there is ACHS. The National Issues Committee has talked about impact statements. Jonathan Moore, the lobbyist, has talked about them. He needs information when he goes to sell horticulture. What are we doing? How are we addressing issues? And how are we making impacts, effects? So he needs them as well. And the National Issues Committee is talking about how to get those impact statements in to help with the lobbying effort. So gives you a rough idea on how they're all being used. The other thing, and this goes back to when I was a faculty member, thinking about, you know, one more thing to do, and am I wasting my time doing these? No, if I had thought a little bit more then, I realized that these can be used in a lot of ways, and that's what we try to promote to the faculty. A well-written impact statement, especially one that's a little bit longer, you add a few photos to it, you add a couple graphs, and you've got a trade journal article. Okay, and how many here write for trade journals? Okay, a few of you. Well, let me tell you, as a department head, one of the big surprises was how much industry really reads trade journal articles. I do a fair number of trade journal articles, and I get only a half a dozen responses a year. And I think, are the trade journal articles being read? Well, let me tell you, they are getting read a lot more than you realize, because I have growers that will come up to me and talk about such and such faculty member, how they really enjoyed their article. Well, they didn't tell the faculty member that, but for some reason they will tell the department head that. So it's interesting, especially if you have industry funding, the industry sees what's in the journals and it has an impact on getting industry grants. The selection committees of the various groups have told me that time and again. They want to give money to successful programs. If you're publishing in the trade journal, you look successful. You're getting stuff out there. So that's a plug not only for putting stuff into trade journal articles, but using these impact statements to create an article or two. Web pages. How many here have a project web page? All right. Everybody should. Sorry, this is department head talking again. Everybody should, because that's how the outside world sees us these days. And these impact statements can form the basis. Again, add a few photos, and you're there. Text and grant proposals. I have done that, you know, where you need part of the introduction. After a while, you get very good at reusing, you know, your writing. You get something really worked out, and you can use it in multiple places. So it really helps out for the grant proposal. Okay, so this is the part that might overlap a little bit, and I'm going to go through fairly quickly. Write for the non-scientific audience. Use terms and abbreviations. Well, define them, sorry. In general, it's best to not use them at all. You know, if you have an abbreviation that you define once and then use only once later, then just do away with the abbreviation and just spell it out, okay? Because the more abbreviations, the more you're going to lose the flow, and it's going to be harder for the audience to keep up with it. State the problem, write how you addressed it, summarize your impacts, and I'm going to show some examples here in a bit. It's a lot like an abstract, except your audience is different. Your audience is the stakeholders as opposed to fellow researchers, okay? But think of it in that way, concise, to the point. And again, I'm looking at my fellow speakers. Hopefully I'm not overlapping too much. numbers, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. This is the biggest problem I see with the impact statements we get at NC State. And this is the big problem with my impact statement when I was a faculty member, was it just did not have numbers in it. It did not tell a compelling story. And, of course, include collaborators and contributors. Okay, finish with your name and, of course, your contact information as well. All right, getting the numbers. That's the hardest part. And that's what most folks say when I talk to them about the impact statements is how to get the numbers. And I'm going to give some examples here in a bit. But, you know, it can be very straightforward. SurveyMonkey, I love SurveyMonkey. If you keep the survey short, 3 to 5 questions, you can even get industry to respond to it. Of course, you have to put in the subject line, short survey. If you say survey, they just glaze right over. So what you can do is send a survey out to the industry. You can define the problem. You know, if the issue is a loss of, let's say, in the apple industry, competition from, you know, Chinese apple juice, you know, it's had an effect on our apple industry. So the industry profitability per acre went down. Well, a survey can define that real quick with 2 or 3 questions, you know, asking the survey the industry 1 year versus the next, okay? And your impact might be trialing new cultivars, hopefully, that can be better suited to local production and give a higher value. Another survey can then go out to the industry and say, how many of you have changed the apple varieties you're growing in the last 5 years? Okay, and there you've got your numbers. Numbers for the problem and the numbers for the impact. And estimate, don't be shy about it. A lot of, you know, faculty sometimes will be concerned, you know, we're used to data, we're used to hard data. So if you work with 2 or 3 growers in particular, talk to them, get some numbers on how some of the things you have done have impacted them. If they make up, let's say, 10% of the industry in your state, and they seem to be fairly representative, then you can round up, okay, to give an estimated impact for the state. Okay, as long as you say estimated, then you're fine. Okay, so there is a way. Teaching impact statements. Okay, these are some of the easier ones to write in a lot of ways. Recruitment activities. A number of programs are down in student numbers, so anything that you're doing to increase recruitment. You can, of course, look at increase in majors, increase in minors, and increase in degree plans, that sort of thing. So student and student group activities, some of these make really great impact statements. They don't always have the numbers, but they can often tell a really good story. When a student group goes out and works with schools, works with charitable organizations, writing these up, these are ones that often get a lot of attention as well, especially by the popular press. You know, outreach projects, service learning, the economic impact of projects. You can focus on, you know, if you're starting an internship program or you're now requiring internships at your department, you can focus on the number of students that are doing internships versus previously, study abroad. All of these make good potential impact statements. New instructional techniques. One of the new things is gamification of courses, okay, in particular distance ed courses, and looking at how these new techniques affect change in course evaluations, increase in grades. And the physics department at NC State did a big rework of their introductory physics course. And they were a bit disappointed. They got an increase in student evaluation and grades, but they didn't get what they expected. But they kept doing it and they kept track. And one thing that they found later is that the students had gone, well, physics, they got, you know, a billion sections, so they were able to do a nice controlled study of the new course versus the old. And what they noticed later was that the students taking the new course had higher grades in subsequent physics courses. Okay? So you just never know. Again, really great, easy to get numbers on. New curriculums, you know, if you put in a new curriculum, you can do an impact statement on what you're trying to address, and then how many new students have gone into the curriculum. And if you keep it around long enough, you can then show the placement rates for the students getting jobs. Okay, so teaching should not be hard in terms of doing impact statements. Okay, so here's an example. Now, these examples got a lot of text, so what I've done is I've highlighted the key parts, so I'm not just going to read it to you. This focuses on recruitment at NC State because we're down in student numbers like a lot of programs, and we've really been working on trying to get them up. We did a floral plant giveaway to first-year college. First-year college at NC State refers to the non-degree or the non-majors. When they don't have a major specified, they go into first-year college. Okay? So all the students were given a plant, and this was in cooperation with the Horticulture Club. So students talking to students. In the first year, 11 more first-year college students signed up for horticulture than the previous year, horticulture classes. Okay? So we had the problem, we had something we did about it, and here is the result. Okay? Extension, there's a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to read it. We've got a lot of electronic numbers we can get, and we got a lot of traditional numbers we can get, the numbers of folks attending workshops. And extension folks are really good in general at generating numbers. The part I need to see more on is how the numbers are being used, okay? So add interpretation. You know, you have all these 120 folks attended a workshop and you did three workshops around the state. That's great. Now, what did those folks do with the information they got at the workshops? So take it just a little step further. An example here is by Lucy Bradley, and this refers to the Extension Gardener magazine that they put out. Okay, so they did a survey. 77% said the Extension Gardener magazine was highly useful and timely. 93% said the information was highly reliable. That goes to, you know, the university being the source of unbiased information, so we like to see that. 98% of the survey participants said they implemented at least one new gardening practice, and the average reader said they implemented three new practices, okay? And the value put on these changes, $50 to $1,500, with an average value of $385, and then they extrapolated it out over the audience, and they got about $70,000, okay? So very nice set of numbers here with survey. Research. I've divided up into groups, and the plant breeders have it fairly easy. Okay, new cultivars, breeding lines, it's easy to show, you know, the impact on those. In fact, the example I have, unfortunately, is going to be a breeding example. But pest management, you can look at a reduction in the loss of, you know, loss of product. Okay, so that's fairly straightforward. Production projects, those are the hardest, and that's what I have as a faculty member. So you have to work a little bit harder. You know, I'm in that category. I have to work harder to be able to generate the numbers. You know, if you're working on fertilizers, you know, and you're improving efficiency, you know, it's a little bit harder to get that impact out, but that's where some of the surveys may help. And then post-harvest is a little bit easier in the sense of you can look at reduced waste, okay, to give you some of your impacts there. Okay, so research example here, 90% of North Carolina's sweet potato crop is planted to the cultivar Covington, which was developed at NC State, and I'm going to skip down through the middle there to the last part, with a $206 million on-farm impact, or sales for sweet potatoes, Covington is making a significant contribution to North Carolina's economy. So 90% of the sweet potato production then translated into the amount for Covington. So like I said, plant breeders have it a little bit easier in generating the numbers. So this one's from Craig Yencho, as you probably figured out. Okay, it's a great resource there that as I was reaching out, this one was nice summary of some of the things that I've mentioned already. So I wanted to put that website in there. And then, okay. Impact statements, the summary, the take home here, they're increasingly important and they're increasingly required. How many folks here are required to turn in impact statements for your university? Okay, just about all of you. Well, for those who aren't required yet, it'll be coming soon, I guarantee. Impact statement can be used in a lot of ways, so it's not just something you need to mark off because you have to do it, but it's something that you can really use a lot. And the best ones have numbers, numbers that can be pulled out and used. So with that, I'm all done. Are we going to wait for questions until... Okay, does anybody have any questions?